Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whatever time of the day it is that you're listening to this program. Welcome to Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. How am I sounding? Well, I won't be able to know until I play back this particular podcast, but I made some changes and hopefully they are noticeable in terms of the quality of my voice and maybe even that intro music I just played as I made, you know, just tried to make some enhancements within the studio here to hopefully make the broadcast sound a little bit more, I don't know, what's the word, professional? As we kind of, you know, look to just sound a little better as we go forward on the podcast. So I apologize for being a little bit late in terms of the recap of the resounding victory over the Commanders this past weekend. But as you know, yours truly was at the game as I was on vacation with my family in Virginia. So I figured, hey, what better ways to make the best of our time than to throw in an Eagles game while we're down there? And so we were, you know, you would not know that we were on the road other than just the burgundy and gold in the stadium because the seats were filled with seas of Eagle green. I would say, I know I talked about it in the last podcast when I had my special guest, Johnny, on. The Commander fan who talked about the pregame, and I was able to meet up with him as well. So I met Johnny for the first time, and shout outs to you, Johnny. First of all, thank you very much for joining the podcast for the preview show. And we're going to welcome you back for week 10 when the Eagles and Commanders lock horns for the second time of the season, this time in Philadelphia on Monday Night Football. Again, that's week 10. So once again, thank you, Johnny. It was great meeting you and your son at the game. I'm not going to say I'm sorry for what the end result of the game was. I think you even yourself predicted that the Eagles would win the game. You probably didn't expect it to be as dominant a victory as it was, but the Eagles are damn good this year. I mean, we're finding more about this team as the weeks go by, that this team appears to be a legitimate contender in the NFC. And so, again, thanks, Johnny, for joining the program, and look forward to having you back on. Before I get really deep into the dive of the game, let me just throw out the email address. You can email the show, and we suggest that you do. It'd be nice to hear from you. I'll answer any questions that you may have, any comments on the season so far. Let us know your thoughts. Email us at petwg@gmail.com. Again, that is petwg@gmail.com. Love to hear from you, so please don't hesitate to do that. And while I'm at it, make sure whatever podcast platform that you're listening to the show on, please subscribe or follow or whatever the choice is in terms of how it's, I don't know, whatever the button says, I suppose, and share it with your fellow Eagle fans and let them know of Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff as we push forward. I hit into the upper 50s recently. I'll get the numbers again at the end of this week. Now, I know that this is, you know, this is not meant to be a selfish thing when I mention where we kind of stand as far as the podcast ranking within the sports category. It's really something I just share with you because I want to let you know that, hey, you as the audience are helping build this podcast, and I appreciate it, and thank you for that. So once we start hitting inside the 50s, top 50, that's pretty impressive. So there's a lot of sports podcasts out there, obviously, in that category. So thank you for being a part of it. And we got a good team this year, so I hope you're going to be here for the ride. I'm sure there's going to get a couple bumps along the way. We got a good team coming in here this weekend, probably a better team than we expected at the beginning of the season with the Jaguars coming in. We're going to have a preview show a little bit later this week, and I'm also going to that game as well. So I'm going to meet my brother down in Philadelphia, and I'll be able to see that game as well. There won't be a delay in as far as the post game. Well, there will be in terms of that night. I won't be able to do it that night, but I will do the podcast on Monday evening. So stay tuned for that after this upcoming game against the Jaguars. But let's retract a little bit and talk about the victory over the Commanders. And first of all, shout out to the Eagle fans that were there. Man, it was definitely an Eagles home game away from home. I would say the split, and Johnny and I were kind of like talking about it in the pregame preview podcast, which was the one previous to this one, that we were thinking it would be about a 50-50 split, you know. If I was going to hedge either way, I was probably going to say that there would be more Commander fans than Eagle fans there, since it is a home game after all, and they're off to a good start. I thought maybe it might be, you know, 65-35 or 60-40, something like that, but it was 65-35 or 60-40 in favor of Eagle fans. And it might even been 70-30. Am I even doing the math right? 60-40, right? Yeah, 70-30. Because, I mean, it was there was a lot of Eagle fans there, and it was awesome to be there, and had a great time, had a good tailgate. Johnny, like I said, met up with him before the game, and, you know, had a great tailgate before the game started. And then I'm sure from his perspective, as the game started, it kind of went all downhill from there because it was over pretty quick with the Eagles' defense really – giving Carson Wentz a pounding, sacking him 9 times in the game, and I think 4 just in the first quarter alone. And one of them was a Brandon Graham strip sack, which gave the Eagles the ball, you know, inside the 30-yard line or something, and they went down and drove and scored the, you know, the first touchdown in the game to get a quick 10-0 lead, because they did have a 3-0 lead at that time. And then they scored the next 2 touchdowns. It was 24-0 before you could really even, you know, bat an eye. It was basically over from that point. They got a garbage touchdown at the end. Eagles, again, didn't score in the second half of the second straight week, which is, I don't know if I'm concerned about it, but it is kind of, you know, interesting how they haven't scored a second half touchdown. And even against the Detroit game, I think they only scored, a field goal or maybe they didn't score much against the Lions either, which is why they were able to rally in the second half. So, you know, it's been a first half team this year where they've kind of pounced on every team. And then outside of the Detroit game, you know, completely dominated both, all the games, and really was dominating Detroit too. After they give the first touchdown, they kind of ruled the game after that. And then Detroit rallied late and made it close. But I think what we have here is a very, very good team. And now that the defense has really squared itself away, or up, I should say, since the Detroit game, they're just not giving up any points either. And they're starting to get to the quarterback. You know, they're really starting to the pass rush is coming on. And they got a good secondary now, and the linebackers are playing well, and it's kind of all coming together. Now, they haven't played any, you know, offensive juggernaut teams, but, I mean, let's face it, you know, at the same time, Carson Wentz came in this game with 7 touchdowns. I think he was tied for the lead in touchdowns. So it's not like Washington hasn't been scoring this year. They definitely have. And so, you know, you can't not be impressed by, you know, the Eagles so far this year. As we get into some of the stats from the game, you know, the Eagles' run defense was pretty good. I mean, I think Gibson had a couple runs, but overall he only had averaged 3.2 yards per carry on 12 attempts. He did score their only touchdown, which he barely got in. You know, Sanders, I expected Sanders to run much better than he did against the Washington defense. But, I mean, Washington, as I've said, and I said in the pregame, they have a very good defensive line. And so I was surprised that teams were being able to run on them the first 2 weeks of the season. But Sanders was not, he wasn't terrible, but he didn't have that great of a game. He only averaged 3.1 yards per carry, 15 carries for 46 yards, and nobody else really did much either. They contained Hurts also. You know, Hurts had 9 carries for, or 9 rushes for only 2.2 yards. I mean, he's been able to run much better than that for the first two games of the season too. But Hurts hurt him through the air as he went 22 for 35 for 340 yards and three touchdown passes for a quarterback rating of 123.5. Had an outstanding game. I mean, Jalen Hurts just continues to impress and is going to find himself in the MVP talk if he keeps this up and not in a not too distant future. And I'm not getting carried away saying that. I mean, right now, who else is out there that you would put in that conversation right now other than Lamar Jackson? I think, Jalen Hurts is right there in that discussion right now. But it's, you know, we're only three games in the season, so I'm not going to get crazy about it. But we'll see. We'll see where he stands in another, you know, three, four games. Carson Wentz, our good old buddy, old pal, was booed when he came out on the field. Not loudly. I mean, I wish it was a little bit louder than it was. There's definitely a smattering of boos. I really wanted him to hear it, and I think he will on that Monday night game if he's playing. I mean, if he plays as bad as he did in this game, maybe he's not going to make it to the Week 10 game as the starter. I doubt it. They're paying him so much money, I would imagine, he's going to be the quarterback the whole season. But he did not play well, but a lot of that was because the Eagles were in his face, you know, sacking him nine times, did not get him a chance to be comfortable. And as we all know, as Eagle fans, if you rattle her, Wentz, he's done. You know, he's just not a guy that can recover after that, and that's been his problem. And so the Eagles got to him early, and he was shot after that. I mean, he just was. His numbers don't look all that bad. I mean, he didn't throw any touchdown passes. He was 25 of 43 for 211 yards. Those aren't terrible numbers. He had a 71 quarterback rating for the game. Didn't throw any touchdowns, like I said. Didn't throw any interceptions, which is kind of surprising. He did fumble and lose. He fumbled twice. One he lost, one they did recover. Our friend, Mr. Terry McLaurin, of course, killed the Eagles again. He had over 100 yards, although a lot of that was in sort of trash time. They really contained him and shut him down. But he did get some. He had a 45-yard catch in the game, which really was a big chunk of that 102 yards. And so, but he's a good player. I'm not trying to knock Terry McLaurin. He's one of the best, most talented wide receivers in the league. And he had over 100 yards again, but again, he was contained. Other than that long pass, they did a really good job on him as well as Samuel. Samuel had a pretty decent game. He had a couple rushes. I think he had a couple rushes, he had at least one. I think the first play of the game was like a 15-yard rush. Samuel had 10 targets, caught seven of them for 48 yards. Samuel's a good player. I mean, Washington does have a good defense. That's why it's like, I know they're not a high-powered, offense, but their offense is decent. They got a lot of talent on the offense there, and the Eagles' defense just absolutely shut them down. And for those of you, or if there was any of you, and it wasn't me, of course, as I mentioned that on the podcast after the opening game against Detroit, if there was any Eagle fan out there with any concern over DeVonta Smith in this offense or just DeVonta Smith in general, I would hope that you no longer have those concerns, as DeVonta had his best game as an Eagle. I know he's had some pretty good games his rookie season, but to me, especially the difficulty of the catches that he made, had just an unbelievable game and really showed the type of athletic ability that he has to catch the ball and torque his body in certain positions to make these acrobatic catches. And his catches were phenomenal. If you haven't seen, if you missed the game this past Sunday and you haven't seen the highlights yet, please check out the highlights of this game so you can see the catches made by DeVonta Smith. He was unbelievable in this game, and he had 12 targets. He caught eight of them for 169 yards, an average of 21.1 yards per catch. Caught a 45-yarder. He caught another long one early in the game as well. Had one touchdown, and his touchdown catch was incredible as well. On all three of his long catches, he was covered pretty well, and he just out-jumped. Outfought, whatever word you want to use, the coverage, and caught the ball at its high point and brought it down. And it was awesome. I mean, just an amazing game by DeVonta Smith. A.J. Brown did his normal, was targeted 10 times, caught five for 85 yards, 17 yards per catch. And he did have his first touchdown as an Eagle. So I'm glad to say I was there for the game to see that. Dallas Goedert had 4 targets, caught 3 for 26 yards, did have the Eagles' first touchdown of the game, a 23-yard scamper into the end zone. So I didn't do him a lot after that. And he was banged up as well, so that probably factored in as to why his numbers weren't, much more after that first touchdown catch. He really didn't do a heck of a lot after that. Calcaterra made his first NFL catch and took it 40 yards. So that was impressive. Showed off what he can do. And I think it was his first playing time of the year. I think he was a sixth or seventh round pick. He did very well. So, but sacks wise, it was just announced, by the way, today that good old BG Brandon Graham was defensive player of the week. So that's 2 straight weeks and Eagle was defensive player of the week because Darius Slay was defensive player of the week last week and his performance is shutting down Justin Jefferson on Monday night, as well as getting did he have 1 or 2 interceptions? No, he had at least 1. I think he did a 2. Yeah, he had 2 picks. So for the second straight week, the Eagles have had the defensive player of the week on their team. So that is pretty cool. Just trying to see what are the other statistics here. So 2.5 sacks for Brandon Graham, 1 sack for Edwards, the linebacker, 1.5 sacks for Hassan Riddick, which I had a feeling that we would probably hear from him this week, and we did. Josh Sweat contributed 1.5 sacks, and Fletcher Cox, who continues to play well, also had 1.5 sacks, and Javon Hargrave also with a sack. It was sack city in that game. Again, they got Wentz down 9 times in the game. Edwards also had 2 tackles for a loss. Brandon Graham also had 2 tackles for a loss. He had an amazing game. Gardner Johnson had a tackle for a loss. Sweat, Cox and Hargrave, all tackles for losses. Just awesome. No interceptions in the game, but just an amazing, amazing job. The fumble recovery was by Hargrave on the Brandon Graham strip sack. So just a great job. Well done by all. And it was good to see. It was a fun game. Like I said, to come, on an opposing team's field stadium and come away with a victory is always fun. And then to do it amongst, when the majority of the crowd are Eagle fans, that just makes it even more fun. And it was a good time. Nothing but a good time, as Poison would say. So, a lot of good thoughts on the game. And really, it's the Eagles are starting to separate themselves from being pretenders to contenders. And really showing that they're one of the better teams in the league. In fact, some power rankings. Now, I don't give a lot into power rankings, especially this early in the season. But that being said, there are some sites that have the Eagles ranked number 1 in the entire NFL. That includes the AFC, obviously. So they're starting to get some serious respect amongst the media out there and the so-called experts and analysts and all that. Again, I don't put too much in it. I just mention it. This really doesn't mean anything. It's totally meaningless, but worth mentioning. So I just did. I didn't even make any notes for this podcast because I just really wanted to talk about my experience. It's the first time I've ever been to that field, and it is an absolute, when I've been calling it a dump, it totally is. And I'll have to say this. The field itself is a dump. It's an absolute trash stadium. Doesn't have, the amenities aren't that great. The only thing good about it is where we parked and where we tailgated, the walk from where we parked to the stadium itself was pretty short. I don't know if it was like that for everybody that goes to the game. We were in the red zone area, so that might be a closer parking lot. I don't really know what the layout of the rest of the parking is, to speak about that in detail. But the stadium itself is just, the scoreboard itself. You actually had to squint to see what the score of the game was. the Jumbotron, if you want to even call it that, is looks like it was from 1990 in terms of the size of it and the age of what it looks like. So the technology is not anywhere near, like, you know, modern or that advanced. And then again, like I said, the actual score of the game they have in the top left corner of the quote Jumbotron, which is really like a Minitron compared to most stadiums. And you have to, like, you know, squint to see what the heck the score is. That's how small it is. Like, out of the entire scoreboard, the tiniest area of it is the score of the game. Maybe it's because the Commanders have been so bad, they don't want to show the score. I don't know what the deal with that is, but, you know, literally it's that hard to see. And then we found out, because one of my, I don't know what I call it, my brother-in-law. Yeah, I guess that's who it is. He actually works. He works the what do you call it? The boom mic, the sound. For he's a contractor, and the NFL Network hires him, and so he was actually on the field working the game that day, and he came up during halftime and talked to us from our seats and told us that in that stadium, the top part of the stadium where you can see it's cordoned off, it's like there's just these like maroon sections that are covered. There actually are seats under there. And we're talking hundreds of seats, hundreds, if not 1,000 seats, probably well over 1,000 actually, because you go around the entire stadium and you see the upper corridor, the upper level is all just cordoned off and colored burgundy gold or burgundy. And there are seats under there. And he said that the reason why they do that and cut those seats off is so that that they consider the games a sellout, so they don't have to black out the local market. That's pretty scary if you're a Washington fan. They have to do that just to get the games from, you know, from being blacked out. I mean, that's pretty sad. So, because that was once a proud franchise. I mean, we talked about Johnny last week on the podcast, and, you know, he talked about the history of the former Redskins and the Washington team, and there's a lot of good history there. I mean, that team was a very good team for a long time when I was growing up. They were always a contender. But in recent years, they've become an absolute embarrassment of a franchise. They just have. And when you have an opposing team taking over your stadium, a divisional team too, that would never happen in Philadelphia. I don't care how bad they were. That is never happening in Philadelphia. That is one thing that you can guarantee in life: death, taxes, and an opposing team taking over an Eagles home game. Never, in opposing team's fan base, I should say. That's never, ever, ever, ever going to happen in Philadelphia. But it is right flesh in front of you in Washington. And, you know, it's got to be sad for fans of that team and that team in general, because, you know, had the mighty have fallen. Because that was once a very highly prestigious and respected franchise. And it's definitely not that anymore. If anything, they're at the butt end of jokes, especially with the stupid name change that they have. And I don't mean to beat on that team, you know. I don't. I'm just saying it is what it is. I think a lot of Washington fans would probably agree with my feedback here and my commentary. So, anyway, we move on. We won't see them until Week 10. And the other, you know, big game in the NFC East this week, you know, was the battle between the Cowboys and the Giants in Dallas, and it was a close game, as I expected, because I don't think both teams are, either one of them are that good. I do think Dallas is the better team, and they end up squeaking out a victory against the Giants with their backup quarterback, Cooper Rush. You know, it just tells you that the Giants are completely overrated at this point. I mean, nobody, at least I didn't think there were anything, any part of a threat at being 2-0 to the Eagles in the division. I still think Dallas is the best team in the division, and that's going to be the team that will be the biggest challenge for the Eagles to come out as the division champs. But I do think that they are by far the best team in the division. But they also have to beat Dallas, and they haven't been able to do that in recent years. And even with Cooper Rush now, the Cowboys, to their credit, have come with two straight victories. I don't know how much to make out of the Cincinnati game. I definitely think Cincinnati is a much better team than what they're playing right now, but they're not playing well at all. They did get a victory finally this weekend, which was much needed for them. You know, Burrow finally went off. So, I mean, Dallas has a very good defense, and they're a pretty good team overall. And Micah Parsons is a major problem, and that defensive line can get to the quarterback. There's definitely some players there. And Cooper's keeping them in the games and winning some games for them. I don't think there's any type of quarterback controversy going on there. I think once Dak is back and healthy, he easily comes back and takes the team again, takes the reins, as they say, and that's who will be carrying Dallas going forward once he does get back. And I'm not sure when he's going to do back. I've heard various ETAs as far as when he's going to be back into the Cowboys lineup. But I do think that they are the biggest threat to the Eagles as far as the division title, but I definitely think the Eagles are a better team. But we'll see. They got to beat them. They got to put the money where the mouth is. But the Cowboys do get a win over the Giants this past weekend on Monday night. So next up for the Eagles is our good friend, and I don't mean this sarcastically like I did with Carson, Doug Peterson, the head coach who got us over the hump and brought us our first Super Bowl championship. And no doubt he was a big part of that reason why. Clearly had a fallout with the Eagles shortly thereafter. And I didn't think he was a great coach. I mean, I think he's a good coach, but let's put it this way. I didn't shed many tears when the Eagles decided to get rid of him. I think he's a good coach. I don't think he's a great coach. And I think his time kind of wears out pretty quickly. I think he's very good for like a team like Jacksonville. I thought that was a good hire because that's the exact type of coach you want for a young team to kind of, say the right things and get them motivated and be creative as Doug is and be aggressive. And that's where Doug excels. But I do think that his welcome in Jacksonville, although Jacksonville's a different market than the Eagles, so I don't know if I could really say this, but I think at some point, I think teams will catch up to Doug in the division, and I just think Doug loses a little bit of his message pretty quickly. So we'll see if that happens. I know Jacksonville will have a longer leash than the Eagles. And obviously Doug and the front office here in Philly did not get along all that great, which I don't even think is all Doug's fault. I definitely think that Howie and Jeffrey even want a decent amount of control, and which I don't like. So I understand how Doug could have got frustrated with certain aspects of, being able to draft the guys that he wanted and be able to do some of the things that he probably wanted to do in the game plan and stuff like that. So I think there's some of that I definitely don't blame Doug for, but I also think Doug, is, I don't know. I think he became too predictable, his last year. And I also thought his message was starting to get lost in the weeds, which happens sometimes. But overall, Doug got us our first Super Bowl championship. I will always be grateful to Doug Peterson. And I think he's a really good guy, and I think he's a really good coach, and I wish him well, except for this Sunday. So the Eagles cannot let him come in here and beat us for the first, for our first loss. So the Eagles will have to play well, because this team is starting to believe, and as far as the Jaguars are concerned, and they got a good young star in the making quarterback in Lawrence, who is really benefiting from Doug's coaching and what he brings to the table. So, and they have some good running backs there and a really good defense, I think an underrated defense. So they're going to pose a test for the Eagles this weekend. And I'll be there with my brother to watch the game. It's my last game, Eagle game this year, unless they make the playoffs. I'll try to get tickets for that. But otherwise, just these back-to-back weeks on the road against the Commanders and home here this weekend against the Jaguars are the only two games that I have got for this season. So I'm gonna enjoy spending time with my brother again in Philadelphia, and hopefully we see another Eagles victory. That'll be a lot of fun, and certainly looking forward to that. It's gonna be a good game. You know, I think if the Eagles keep playing the way that they're playing, they'll win the game. You know, I think the fact that they're home is gonna help. And I just think that the Eagles are just they're a better team. So, but I do think the Jaguars can pose some problems. They have even, been a problem for the Eagles even when they've been a bad team. I think Matt and I talked about it in our season preview show a few podcasts ago, that the Jaguars, we were at that game the last time they were here, and I think the Jags had something like a 23 or 17 to nothing lead. I mean, they jumped on the Eagles early. Now, the Eagles came back and rallied to win that game. But the Jaguars just seem to always play the Eagles tough. And that was without a Doug Peterson, leading the way. And they didn't have any Trey Lawrence, Lawrence there either. Is his name Trey Lawrence? I have his name wrong. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Lawrence, the young quarterback there. So we'll see. They got some, they brought in Christian Kirk and paid him all that money, a wide receiver. They got some players. They got some talent and a team. And that should give the Eagles all they can handle, I would think. Coming up this weekend, we're going to give a little bit of a preview show. I probably will. You can count this as kind of like a post and a pre because I'm doing it so late in the week. We'll see. I may or may not have a pregame show, quite honestly. We'll see. If I do, I'm more likely to do that on Friday. I'm driving out to Philadelphia on Saturday, so no promises, just to be up front. If I may not be able to squeeze it in. Come back from vacation. I got a lot of obviously work to catch up on as well this week. So this could more than likely be a post Washington and a preview of Jacksonville. I do expect the Eagles to win. So not saying that, Jacksonville's going to come in here and win. It would definitely be an upset if the Eagles don't get a win this weekend. I do expect them to continue to play well. The way Hurts is playing right now, I don't think there's, I don't see them losing to Jacksonville at home. The home crowd, I just think it's going to be, a little too much for Jacksonville to handle. But you never know. And I expect Doug to coach aggressively, go for it on fourth down, the things that Doug does. So the Eagles, I think, have to be ready for that. And I do think that Doug, and I expect for Doug to get a pretty good reception. I know I won't be booing Doug, at least not in the beginning. During the game, once the teams kick off, Doug is now the enemy. But before the game, when they announce his name or he comes on the field or whatever, I will be cheering Doug Peterson. I think he deserves it, and he's earned it. And so that's my thoughts on that. So with that being said, everybody, thanks for tuning in to Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. This team is a heck of a team this year, folks. There's no doubt the Eagles will be a contender throughout the season. Jalen Hurts playing like an MVP. And hopefully we come away this weekend with victory number 4. And then we move on to week 5. Till then, thank you again for tuning in to Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. Appreciate it. Please like, follow, and share the program. And we'll see you again next time. Take care.